Okay, so they're writing information down about what types of graphs that are out there and how they're used. And then because when they finish the experiment, the experiment, they're going to be have to, they are learning to write an abstract, and then of course they're going to have to create some kind of graph to show it. But I'm not going to say use this kind of graph. They are going to have to decide what kind of graph to use and model it, and you know, and then justify why they're using that graph. So based on the information that they're getting. Now next week they'll be doing a graphing activity where I've given them data and said, okay, pick the kind of graph you think it should be, and they'll, you know, go around the stations and do different graphs, but you know, to practice that what they gain from their research. Yes.
Do you find a homework component in this stuff, or is everything done in the classroom?
Almost everything is done in class. Generally, I rarely send homework home in my science classes. Most of the time, if it is, it's information gathering. Watching a video about something, reading a section of the science book about something to get the background knowledge, but not really to, to do practices, because
parents would have a fit if they had to have them.
You can't guarantee they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so, and then there's a whole group that if they don't do it, then you're kind of having to do it in class anyway. And then there's the group who's like, I did my homework, and now we're doing this again. So if I send it home, it's not something that's going to be critical to what's going to go on in the classroom, because that's just the way of it. You know, they've got baseball, which is way more important than doing my homework.
So, and I think that is just, again, this is not I think it reiterates what I said earlier, as what Tanya was saying, that the textbook would say, okay, here's the experiment, here's the data that you need to collect, and then the teacher would bring that into the classroom and say, okay, now here's the worksheet that you need to fill out, and this is what we're going to do, and they fill out the data. And at first, in the first year, the teacher said, yeah, we're doing data collection with our students, right? And we asked our students to collect data, write it down. But that's not a data collection skill that the students have developed. What they develop is copying down numbers to the right spot.
That's right.
Right?
The
same thing as the data representation. Yeah, we ask our students to do data representation all the time, because we say, here's is your data, let's do a histogram, and this is how you plot it. It is a skill that we're trying to teach kids, but we're not asking them to say, okay, how many different data representation there are, right? And what is the consideration that people have in terms of how to represent this data, what tools that you can use in order for you to visualize something in graphs, you need to decide what data to collect. Because some of the data that you collected, and we have done some of the lessons like that we use Google Form to set up things for students to even enter data. And they will enter data along with the units, right? Because that's what they have been trained to, is whenever you enter some data, you need to enter the unit. Yet, if you do that with the Excel sheet, you can't chart anything with number and units together. So now they need to start thinking about, okay, so I have this variable, which is basically like a column of things, that you, in the variable, the name of the variable, which is the title of your column, represent the unit in some way, is the meaning. I mean, in computer science, we talk about descriptive variable names, right? That once you have that descriptive variable name, then the content does not need to have the unit, because once you have the unit in there, then you will not be able to chart it. And once you have that, then students start to think about, okay, so here's the descriptive name, and in the descriptive name, and as we collect data, the unit plays a very important role in that, because if you say, how long does it take? Oh, 1 minute and 2 seconds, now they have to figure out, how do you convert that, right? I mean, what is the descriptor then? That would be the number of seconds that actually is more common, because otherwise, if you just say time, then all kinds of entries. So all of these is really something, as you give students a chance to decide what number they're collecting, how to structure it. Then they start thinking about those details, because before, when we tell the student, write down your thing on these worksheets, we have taken that away from students. We basically say, copy down the number. They are not thinking about why they need that number. And I mean, we had a teacher who's in the summer camp. They did an experiment. It's a really fun experiment, and the kids were having great time setting up the model, trying to roll the project object down and recording the time. And this nice 3x3 table, they like different location, different speed, they did all that. And then we say, you know, how many variables are there? 9 variables. They wrote down 9 values because there's a 3x3 table, they recorded the numbers. But when we say, okay, now you have this experiment, how many different variables? Oh, we have 9 variables, because they write down 9 numbers. Does that make sense? But yeah. I mean, again, that's what Tanya was saying, that when we follow the textbook, a lot of textbook in science, and say, let's do a data collection, we're not really asking the student to think about the data collecting process and skill and the variables that they need, how to record that. So, I mean, I think Tanya's story just reminds me again that we talk about this all the time in our professional development, and talking about, like, how is it, as she mentioned, how is it we help the kids to do that? And, I mean, even herself, I mean, she said the first year I'm confused, but she was not the only one that about this vocabulary. And a lot of time, and the teacher are trying to separate those terms too, and said, you know, but you can't, right? Because all these terms really work together in many ways. Like, for example, if you want to do data representation, you need to think about your data collection. If you want to think about your prioritization, you need to decompose your problem, right? So a lot of these terms are really connect together.
And they came up with that yesterday, that none of these terms could work in isolation, which was really great for them. And I was thinking, well, I wonder if they know that. And they were like, well, you can never just do one thing. I was like, oh, okay. You know, we're doing this experiment, but we're doing at least 5 different computational thinking skills at that time.
So, and we're going to open it up to questions, because Tanya can't stay too much longer. And I want to make sure you all have a chance to ask her questions.